those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, and it is the 26th, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. So, hop on the chat room, and that's the same way you do that. And today, from, oh, say, 3 minutes from now, we're going to have open line, open mic. Come on in. Let me know what your thoughts were on this weekend. Of course, Jared's here at the helm.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have the weather?
I do. It is currently 37 degrees. Today's going to be partly sunny. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a high of 64, a low of 42. Tomorrow is going to be sunny and clear with a high of 78, a low of 79. Wednesday is going to be sunny and mostly clear Wednesday night with a high of 86, a low of 51. And on Thursday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 88 and a low of 56.
Okay. You didn't mention the fog. Is the fog burnt off now?
It just seemed to be right over the river, mostly.
Okay. Boy, I tell you what, coming into work today, everything was clear, and I made the turn on to Shasta Street to make the run down here, and it fogged. It was heavy fog at the railroad tracks and all the way down 44. So it may still be foggy out there, so watch out. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, an Anderson-based business that is a veteran-owned business that's been around for, gosh, a couple of decades now, do a lot for our community. They offer, of course, the propane's all the same, but they offer great customer service. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. So what did you do this weekend, Jared?
I had a pretty uneventful weekend, so pretty much nothing.
Pretty much nothing.
Pretty much nothing, besides working here on Saturday.
How was that?
It was good.
Was there a lot of consternation during one of our shows there?
No. You're referring to Common Ground Radio, and it was
pretty quiet.
Pretty quiet.
Okay. Well, that's good, because sometimes it gets rowdy in that group. Like Sunday. Sunday gets rowdy, too. This weekend, I borrowed Jared. I didn't borrow Jared. I hired Jared. And though you would have done it for free. Yeah, you would have done it for free. They helped me move furniture out of the house and into our carport, because we are clearing out the house of excess stuff. So my favorite recliner, and I will continue to say this. Well, it's my only recliner. It's my favorite recliner. Couch and a big footstool, hassock, went out. And it was Jared who figured out how to get the back off the chair, which made it a lot easier to move. And then, but the couch that, what is that, an 8-foot couch, 7-foot couch?
A big cushion couch.
A big cushion couch where the cushions didn't come off the back, so it beat us up, and we tried not to destroy the doors as we got it out and got it out there. So I appreciated that a lot. And then the next day, the yard sale. We had, and I talked about it last week, we had, I don't know, maybe 5-6 houses on our street had a yard sale. And people came, I met a lot of nice people. I actually met some new neighbors. Well, they weren't right next door to us, of course, because we know everybody around us. But it turns out he's a home appraiser. And I learned a lot about home appraisal in there for a few minutes. Anyway, I said, we've got the couch, we've got the chair. And you're trying to think, now who's going to buy this? I mean, it was good stuff, but who's going to buy it? Well, a gentleman from French Gulch came in, looked at it, and he left. He walked around the street. He came back again. He said, how much? And we told him, and he paid Linda. He said, I really only want the recliner. And Linda says, for that price, you get the couch and the Hassock. So we helped him load his load that whole thing into his smaller truck, you know, the Toyota truck, pickup truck. Got it all in. I gave him like 50 feet of rope, and we tied it down, and off he went happy. We were happy. And then everything that wasn't sold and everything pretty much was sold got loaded into the truck, and Goodwill has it now. So it was a successful day. So, you know, that's what I did Saturday. I was very domesticated Saturday. Sunday, we had a it was yard work day, and Brandon and his son, who guy who works for us, in the sense of really helping us out around the house, guy can do anything, brought in 4 yards of stuff, 2 yards of gravel, large gravel, and 2 yards of black bark. And the four of us worked out there on Sunday morning. Now, the only thing that Sunday morning made it different was that hardest rain we've had probably in, what, months? And there we were out there trying to spread this stuff and get it out. It got so bad, I sent Linda and said, Linda, this is crazy. And then I got the guys and said, let's go stand in the carport. And we stood in the carport till it semi-stopped. That was my weekend.
At least it didn't rain on Saturday.
No, it didn't. Well, it rained a little bit.
Oh.
It rained a little bit. Okay. So you had nothing more than you had nothing big then on that?
No.
Okay. We went out to dinner with our friends Sunday night. And can I say that for the first time in 15 years, we missed the Oscars. Not only did we miss the Oscars, we forgot about the Oscars, the Academy Awards. As I've heard that millions and hundreds of millions of other people have done, we just totally, it wasn't on our plate. We usually have go to a party, and that was canceled because of COVID, even though everybody, I think, that was going to the party had been vaccinated and all that. But that didn't happen. Or maybe it did, and we just weren't invited. I hadn't thought of that. But usually it's held. But we totally forgot about it. And when Linda realizes that today, she's going to ask me one question. Ask me if I recorded it. I forgot about it. Totally. You think it's going to change my life? But I'll find out about it Wednesday when Robert comes in. He'll talk about it. So it'll be almost just like being there. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. You know, I want to talk about the Lakehead shooting. The Lakehead shooting, the more I read about it, the more I realize that, you know, how horrible this thing is. The guy that did it wasn't from here, but he surely affected the people of Reading with what he did. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. SST Oil is asking that you be prepared for the summer. You know, the fire season is on us. Even though we had a great rain, that fire season is on us. Do you have defensible space around your house? Do you have a go bag with all your important papers, medications, the dogs and cats' medications, everything you need that you can pick up in one spot and get out? SST Oil is up there. When they're fighting fires, SST Oil is there with their drivers, their trucks, providing the diesel, the gas, the jet fuel to fight fires. SST Oil has been doing this since 1967. So they know their ways around fires, but they sure as heck don't want to lose customers, and they just want people out there in Reading to know that they care. And that they want you to prepare for this. That's SST Oil. They're looking for drivers right now. It's an employee-owned company, great benefits, no overnights. Think about that if you're a driver. Give them a call at 241-1167. We'll be right back after these messages. 39 degrees out there, 7:14 in the morning.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio. Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, Comenti. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Mother's Day brunch on Sunday, May 9th, with seating options at 10 a.m. and 12 noon in the Wind River Event Center. Served buffet includes omelet station, prime rib, roast turkey, steamed clams with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Table of six for $135.
Taxes and fees apply.
Tickets must be purchased by calling 1-800-280-UWIN or at windriver.com. For the complete menu, download the Wind River app or log on to windriver.com.
All Wind River safety protocols must be.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st, at HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work, and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st, for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Bott, and I got Pat Karch in here today.
Hey,
we're going to be discussing a few things. Phone line's here, 605-4567, open line. Do you need to have it turned up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm checking. That's good right there.
Okay,
thank you, Carl.
Got it.
Good morning.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, community-oriented community. That's the bottom line. Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned and operated local board of directors. They're there moving local dreams forward. They're there to help you. Cornerstone Community Bank, three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one at 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading, and, of course, the main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center there. Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at Bank Cornerstone. I want to talk about, Pat, this shooting up at Lakehead. It happened last Sunday, not this Sunday.
But this is the one that where someone who had a concealed weapon saved the day, but it wasn't reported.
And I should have asked the sheriff this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they had a concealed weapon or there was two of them that had guns and help found the guy. But this guy was from Sacramento. The shooter was from Sacramento, and one of them, Travis Barber. There's a GoFundMe page going for this young man right now. He's 34, and what happened was. This 21-year-old, and he's been charged with multiple felonies, but it appears that Travis barber and his friend had gone to Salt Creek Inlet last Sunday at 7 a.m. to fish and socialize.
Yeah, they were teaching the kids how to fish.
Yeah, right? It wasn't this yesterday. It was last Sunday. I just want to make sure everybody knows. Anyway, this guy's been camping in an area. He goes down the hill. The families were there. It was around 11 a.m., and they saw the guy walking toward them. And then the guy that did the shooting, and I'm going to use his word, his name, Hesselberg. When he approached the group, he called the 41-year-old, I guess, who is a African-American. He called him the N-word. Then he took out a gun, sought out the 41-year-old, and shot him in the back. When Barber went to help his friend, Hasselberg shot him multiple times. During the struggle, Hasselberg and Barber fell down the embankment. He then shot Barber in the back of the head, discarded the gun, and walked away.
Oh, brother.
Two other people in the area, not named in report, found him and held him at gunpoint while deputies and emergency personnel made their way to the scene. This is just cold. It appears right now that he went down there to pick a fight. He did, and then he shoots two guys, including a local, two families, a black family and a white family, are down there teaching the kids to fish, and then this guy comes into it.
This is out of the blue. I mean, you can't predict this kind of thing.
He didn't know anybody.
You've got to think that the guy must have been on some, under the influence, I would think.
Well, the gun didn't have a serial number, not registered. They found a disassembled AR-style rifle without a serial number and two silencers, all of which are totally – those are all federal. Those are all federal – well, the silencers are state. But all of them are federal felony-type stuff. But shooting this guy, I mean, this is – the fact is that he may have gotten away. Who knows? He maybe he wouldn't have gotten away. But two people were there that were armed.
Right.
Were able to hold him.
And when I read the first report, it didn't make any mention of the people being armed. It said that they held him.
No. But they had guns. Yeah. And whatever you think about guns, people that are trained, people who are carrying firearms protect themselves just from something like this.
Exactly like
just
this.
Exactly
because
like
the police
this.
Can't be everywhere.
They can't be here in town.
Right. It takes, Officer Kemple used to say, it's going to be, before they reach the school where I used to work, 7 to 11 minutes to get there. And he said, by the time they get entry, it could be up to 14 minutes. Well, how many rounds can these people fire in 14 minutes?
And that and the whole thing goes into, the AR style. Well, this guy came down. Almost all shootings, the vast majority of shootings were with pistols. Somebody said, who needs, and I saw something the other day, it had a sign with all these bullet holes in it, and it said, by the time you finish reading down to here, this is how fast somebody with a assault weapon can shoot. And I couldn't help but comment. I said, I can make the same amount of holes with two shots from my shotgun.
Right.
I mean, I can. Using double aught buck, I could put as much into that sign as in, from doing it. So it's not the gun.
It's not
we go
the gun.
Back into
right.
the thing. It's not the gun because if I'm not this young man, Berber, that attacked Hasselberg to try and defend his friend after he'd been shot, ended up getting the worst part of this. And you almost wished that Travis had had a gun.
Yeah. When Pam and I were back in Texas last year, we went to church on Sunday morning, and when we walked into the foyer of the church, there was an armed officer right there.
A police officer?
A police officer, mm-hmm. Pam's comment was, probably she was not realizing. She said, boy, we should have faith and not fear. And I said, that's true. We shouldn't be afraid. But on the other hand, there's a reason. Well, get this. On that very morning, Carl, that very morning while we were there, a few miles down the road was the shooting with the guy with the shotgun at another church on the same road, just a few miles down the road.
Where the parishioners killed him.
They have a group of people in their congregation that are armed.
Yep.
And the guy got off. They were watching him because he had looked suspicious, and he had this gun tucked down his pants and in his jacket.
Yeah.
And his shotgun. And the only reason that they didn't shoot him sooner is because he couldn't get a clear shot.
Yeah, and he pulled the gun out, killed one of the parishioners. Mm-hmm. And then when he moved toward the center of the church, security team.
And the head of the security team. Yeah,
shot him from about 15 feet away,
right,
and killed him. And the other guys were coming, and you look at the video, and then the other armed parishioners were were coming up all around. So,
right. And so when we were that close to it and having our children there,
He could have picked your church.
He could have picked the church.
Maybe he didn't, because there was a policeman standing there.
And she was in full, I mean, she was not concealed. She was completely.
Yeah, in full
right,
uniform.
Right.
And if you think about it, most of these shooters don't go after cops.
No.
I mean, something like this. They're looking for instant victims. They're going to a gun-free zone. Right. And the thing about it is that, and where churches used to be gun-free zones, they're no longer gun-free zones.
Right.
Because they do have security teams.
Sure.
Or they have armed parishioners who go through training with, special training to be able to know how to shoot, know what the background is,
and
all this.
In fact, at that church, there are even signs there, if you're not trained and have not been pre-approved, you cannot bring your concealed weapon into the church.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this team that's set up to do that.
Yeah, that guy obviously didn't read that.
Yeah, right.
Which is good.
Anyhow, the Lakehead thing is distressing because, what it causes people, well, why should we visit Shasta County and go, and this is part of our income.
If I'm a black American, am I going to be targeted by somebody? Well, the guy, again, he wasn't from here. He was from Sacramento. But still, the point is that this was strictly because of your race. Of his race, that he was confronted, he was insulted, and then the guy pulls a gun and shoots him.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And I can't say enough for this Travis Barber, who works at the hydroponics place.
Yeah,
and find out, and there's a GoFundMe page for him while they're, raising money to help him help his family with the medical expenses and all that. So,
we'll have to see if we can find out how he's recovering at this time.
And maybe he was unconscious last time. I don't think we're going to know for a while. Anyway, it was horrible, but there's heroism there too, and
there is a lot of people would run from that.
After he'd been shot, he still was fighting him,
right?
And then he shot him at the end of it. Anyway,
right.
I hope. And then the guy pleads not guilty. He gets a public defender. He gets a public defender that we pay for. He pleads not guilty because that's what they do.
Well,
and now, people say, Carl, are you, because what I'm getting ready to say, people are going to say, you're saying vigilante justice. And 125 years ago, people would have gone down to the jail, because the jail would have been smaller.
Sure.
And taken this man out.
Look at the Ruggles brothers, right?
And hung him.
Right.
And they just, I think they killed somebody, too, but... Or maybe they were just, stage robbers. I'm not sure. But here's the thing. You had taken him out. Here's your justice. And hung him. Or let's just say he actually went to trial. And then you had gone to trial quickly. There had been a jury there. They would have said he's guilty. They were taking him out within 2 weeks, probably a week.
Right.
And hung him. Legally. But today, that guy's never going to see, he'll go to jail. And he may stay in jail for the rest of his life.
Right, yeah.
But, who knows? Who knows with the way they're changing things at the prison level? Well, he was under the influence of drugs. It wasn't his fault, he had been beaten as a child. Adverse childhood, his ACE score was, the highest we've ever seen. You know what? No. No. I don't care what your ACE score was. Yes, it can lead to things, but it's wrong to shoot somebody.
Right. And, the thing about our system, though, is that we have those protections in there because we don't want to end up like, some of these places where you're convicted on the street and for something you didn't do. And, so it's a balance. And so we're lucky to be in a situation like this and with our style of government and, justice. I would rather have that than be someplace in some third world country where they just carry out the justice, even if you're innocent, what they think is justice. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Okay, and I understand but this one is...
This is cut clear. You can tell. I mean, it's like there's no question on this one.
Well, in Saudi Arabia, they cut off hands.
Right.
And, of robbers and thieves. And they just take them out, and it's kind of a big ceremony, and they just cut off his hand. They clamp it down. They take something that looks like a meat cleaver.
Right. This probably won't be his last offense. We've had people that, when I worked for the county, that were while in jail, amassed even more felony counts.
Oh, yeah.
It's common.
Yeah. Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to talk about Anselmo's. Anselmo's is, as you all know, was that vineyards and a restaurant and a great restaurant.
Used to play music there.
Great. You did, and along with Linda Sang, and you were on the keyboards and all this, and it was just a wonderful place to have dinner. But Rivage Anselmo was in a battle with the county. Eventually led to one, I think the guy in charge, as he put it, if you drink water, breathe air, or eat food, you're under my department.
Right.
And he retired, and then Mr. Hawes.
Glenn
didn't run again. Right. But Anselmo, well, we'll talk about it when we get back.
Yeah.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair and Jeff Wurst. Jeff Wurst is the owner and has been doing this for a couple of decades. Jeff is truly from the old school, and each and every repair is a sign of quality workmanship, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Don't fool around with your family safety. Get it repaired the proper way, and that's what Crackmaster does. Jeff Wurst guarantees his work. For life, he fixed a 12-inch crack in my windshield, and it's never gotten any better. And that was 14 years ago, yes. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. It's a better-known business, and Jeff is really proud of his business and how he helps people. We'll be right back.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 800-221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Our brains are complex and play an important role in health and well-being. Having knowledge about the brain will help keep you and your loved ones healthy and enjoying a quality life. You can learn brain health and dementia prevention strategies during the Healthy Brain Symposium, a free live event with resource exhibits, or attend via Zoom webinar April 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's your chance to get informed about brain health and aging well from leading medical professionals and healthcare experts, including David Johnson, Associate Professor in Neurology, UC Davis Alzheimer's, Dr. Ruth O'Hara, Senior Associate Dean of Research, Stanford University of Medicine, Donna Ross, Licensed Physical Therapy Medical Home Professional, and Dr. Eric Egli, PhD, plus a panel of experts question and answer session. It's all at the Healthy Brain Symposium, April 28th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Reading or online. Free registration, go to shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl Bott. And Pat Karch is joining me
here. Hey, good morning there.
Good morning. Jared's at the helm. 7:36 in the morning, 39 degrees out there. It's not going to rain today, is it? It's pretty going to be partly sunny.
No, I don't think it's going to rain.
Yeah, and after this weekend, wow, what up? And of course, the time it rained the hardest is the time we chose to get out there and try moving four yards of stuff with two wheelbarrows. Well, three wheelbarrows.
But you had a great yard sale. My family came to your yard sale and bought some stuff. It was good.
You guys bought stuff from us?
Yeah. Stuff they didn't need. But, you know.
You never buy anything you need from a yard sale.
It's like the sign that was in your driveway said, help make our junk your junk.
Well, it said, make offer. And then underneath it, I wrote, you're not going to hurt our feelings, okay? And some people says, oh, how about a dollar?
She had
I said, not only can you have that one for a dollar, I'm going to give you another one. A book.
Yes.
How about a dollar? Okay, and I'm going to give you another one.
And Linda had that purse, a nice purse, for $30, probably a $200 purse.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman walked up, and she said, well, I'll give you 10. And Linda said, okay.
Oh, yeah, we were at that, if you want, Linda had some quality stuff out there, and those shoes.
Especially those shoes.
She sold every one of those shoes, sets of shoes, and the one she didn't sell, because it was friends across the street, and they've got a young lady that, her first set of heels, she got the rest of them, too. You know, these are ones that Linda would wear in the shows now. If you can wear 4.5-inch heels. This portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite. You know, Mike didn't show up that day at Estate Granite. He's a friend. You know, he could have come by and bought something he didn't want. I mean, I've gone to friends' yard sales and bought things I didn't want just to be a supporter. Anyway, but Mike does something better than anybody else. He works with stone. This guy is truly an artist when it comes to marble, slate, granite. You name it, this man has a gift. The way he did our kitchen, the way he's done other friends' homes is just beautiful. Mike works by appointment only, so you can give him a call at 241-STONE or look up estategranite.com. It's a better-known business, and he'll do a free consultation with you and outline see what you're looking at, and then he'll see how he can help you define that and then reach your objective. That's Estate Granite. Okay, on the phone, we've got Scott Seaton, who is the conductor of the Northern California Symphony.
Scott, are you there?
North State Symphony, yeah.
The North State Symphony.
North State Symphony. Oh, yeah. Scott, it's so good to hear your voice.
I know, Scott. We kind of like lulled you because we were talking about yard sales, and I didn't see you at the yard sale yesterday, so we're going to cut your interview short. So goodbye.
Sorry, I'll make it next time.
Okay, because I had, you know, I had one power tool that I brought out late, and it's, I mean, it wasn't out there for 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it was a saw. One.
You know, Scott, I saw that you guys did some recording at Reading School of the Arts a couple of weekends ago. How did that go? What was that all about?
That was a fun experience for us, you know, and since we had never done anything there, it was really great recording in a place that's so different from everywhere else we've recorded in the past 6 or 7 months. So right. I really enjoyed it. And, even, you know, it was great, even despite the heat. It was 90 that weekend.
Oh, brother.
Even recording outside, it didn't feel that hot, so that was good.
and there's a kind of a natural, you know, ambiance, and the sound reflects in that on those concrete and steel walls. It can be a beautiful place to play acoustically.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's really no car traffic in the background. The only thing we had to worry about was some very prominent birds.
Birds, yeah, the birds are definitely they're singing, and they sing more when you start to play.
Oh, they definitely did, and you'll hear them in the recording.
Oh, beautiful! That's been. And so, what exactly were you guys doing for that?
This is our recording for our last concert of our virtual season this year. So this will be premiered on May 6th.
Right. And do people subscribe to that, or how do they get to see that?
Well, this is part of our main content that during this past year we've been giving for free to everyone. So this will be on YouTube. It will also be free on public access TV on SCAC TV, BCAC TV, Access Humboldt. So really it's going to be piped out all over the North State, which is great. You know, we're trying to keep music going even in times where we can't have live music, so we think it's all the more important, and hopefully get everyone back in the concert hall starting in this fall.
That's great. And you guys kind of follow the guidelines that are set forth by down in Chico State. That's correct, right?
Well, yes, Chico State. We also, you know, there's also some very strict guidelines for the arts that are just now starting to be changed, so we have to sort of take all of these different sources and find what we are able to do through all of that. So that's why it's been a tough season in that respect. You know, we even had one concert where we couldn't even record in person, where we all recorded from the comforts of our homes. So,
how does that work?
Very
unique. How does that work, Scott?
Well, it works because I edit everything and put it together. So what the musicians do is, you know, record on whatever they have available, either a cell phone or if they have a camera and a mic, and then they send that basic recording to me, and then I edit the audio and video together with the other players and try to balance everything in a way that makes it sound like they're all playing together synchronously instead of just whenever they want to record, whenever they can do it. And the real challenge with that is really the repertoire that they play, because sometimes they have to create what's called a click track, where they listen to, you know, very specific, a plan of how, you know, let's say something speeds up or slows down. There has to be a very specific click to that that I can later in the editing process line up and make sure everyone's playing the same way. Because when you try to record, if you try to record with someone, let's say live, but you're in different physical spaces, you run into problems of latency issues, and when you think something is aligned, it really isn't, and it's much more difficult to put together in the editing process.
Boy, I know that Pam and I participated in some vocal ensemble stuff using that the Zoom, and then we did them separately, and it was tricky for the producer to make that happen together later.
And then you're trying to put together how many instruments?
Well, that was for our February concert. So in that, we did smaller combinations intentionally just because it was a new thing for all of us.
Right.
And for me, I had only been doing audio editing for a few weeks before that. My expertise was mostly in video editing. So this past year has made me put on more hats than I had worn before. So we had up to four people playing in a piece at a given time for that particular concert. So that was enough work to try to figure out for that point in time.
Okay. Can you stay with us for a minute? Because I want to talk about this. Now, when's the next concert here?
Well, our season finale is Thursday, May 6th at 7 p.m. And actually, the pre-concert talk is on Tuesday, the 4th at 7 p.m.
Okay. We'll be right back with Scott Seaton. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, absolutely a fabulous place with such an eclectic selection of jewelry, everything from estate jewelry to Native American to just regular jewelry you can get. But they also are there to help you design that special piece of jewelry that nobody else has. They'll help you design it. And then they'll build it for you. All of this is at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. It's 39 degrees out there, 7:45 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts and responds to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, the new Queen Sleep Number 360 P5 Smart Bed is only $1,799. Save $600. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Shasta County, my name is Alyssa McEwen, and I'm leading the effort to recall three of our Shasta County supervisors. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, this allows the public to vote in an upcoming election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We're tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and a failure to defend our county against corrupt politicians like Gavin Newsom. It's time for a recall so we can restore Shasta County to accountable, transparent, responsible government. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time is coming for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays,
including your birthday,
paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental, and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221. 2642.
To the town of Alfreel rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Was that a cow? Yeah, that was your cow part.
You have to ask, okay. Apparently.
No, no, you don't have to have. No. The stranger, what's the name of that one?
Big Iron?
Big Iron. No, no. No cows in that. Just gunfights. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Louts Landscape. Located at the corner of Dirch Airport and Churn Road, Cindy and everybody down there are just super people. You can jumpstart your lawn by using their Bolero Plus sod by Delta Bluegrass, paired with their Jumpstart fertilizer. And let me tell you, after that rain, there's my front yard looks great, even though it's not grass. It's some kind of greenery, but it looks good. My backyard, on the other hand, Cindy, I'm coming down to take a look at some of your sod.
You have a good crop of what we call invasive species.
Well, whatever it is. Give them a call, 378-2220. Hey, we're on the phone with Scott Seaton, who is the conductor, the man in charge of the North State Symphony. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Carl.
Okay. Now, when is your finale of the season, and tell us a little bit about it.
The finale of this strange season that we've had is on May 6th. That's a Thursday at 7 p.m., and I'm doing a pre-concert talk a couple days before that on Tuesday the 4th at 7 p.m. as well. So this finale is the result of a lot of shifting, a lot of pivoting, a lot of reimagining in the past year. And, you know, after all of this, after just being as accessible as we possibly could be, doing free, you know, most of our content for free and then partnering with our public access stations. But we also have exclusive content for members, which members are the equivalent this year of our past subscribers, where in the past they picked specific seats, which obviously they couldn't do that this year. So we have a membership format where you support the symphony that way, and you get lots of performances specifically for members. But we are very excited to get back into the concert hall this fall and have a great season starting to be built for that.
Everyone is looking forward to that. Everyone is looking forward to that. So,
yeah, I think so.
Least of which is me.
Okay, now where's it going to? How are you going to do this?
So this is our last virtual concert that will be available on YouTube,
okay,
as well as public access TV. So SCAC TV, BCAC TV, and Access Humboldt. So it's a really true North State reach that we have because we're not in the concert hall this year. So, you know, some small things that will carry out of a pandemic year into hopefully a more normalized year is all of the connections that we made and all of the ways that we've expanded throughout the North State, which I think is great.
Okay.
Now, Carl, before we go on, I just want to thank you again, Scott. I've been staying in touch with my friend Olga Kopolova down in Sao Paulo. She's playing the Sao Paulo Symphonic down there. And they've been doing...
Is this the Russian?
Yes, the Russian gallery.
You know what? When we talk about being in a free country, and somebody who visits us here is still afraid to speak.
You remember that? Do you want to talk about Putin?
Yeah, and she is even though she doesn't even live there, she is still afraid.
Right.
To speak out.
Yeah. But
wow.
Her time with you guys, she really enjoyed it. And the performance was just wonderful. So.
Oh, yeah. She was fantastic to work with and such a great spirit and musical personality. I really enjoyed it.
And I want to make a shout out.
Back soon.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, she's going to, you know, want to come visit her mother here. She hasn't done that now in 2 years. And is Elizabeth still with you?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I want to shout out to her. She is something else. You know what? She's awesome.
We have a great team here, and she's been our executive director for the better of 5 years now, I think.
Wow. Okay, so if the finale of the season, May 6th, and you can watch it online, you know what? We truly miss being able to go down. And I tell you, my friends, if you get a chance to go to the symphony, and you should take that, make an effort, get there early, because Scott makes the whole, he makes it.
He's so animated. And, you know.
Talk about everything that's going to happen in it. You know, there was a letter to the editor, I remember, years ago that said people are applauding. Or they're applauding during the symphony. And you said, Well, no, that's okay. You know, just don't do it during, you know, but at the end of it, if you want to applaud.
Well, they were applauding during the between the movements.
Yeah,
I think
you know, something like that.
Right, right.
And because they didn't know that that wasn't the end. But you were really cool about the whole thing.
Do we have time? Hope for this. Do you know, Dwayne Hampton passed away recently, Scott. Were you aware of that? The pianist?
No, I wasn't.
Yes, he did. He was the Steinway representative for many years and then lived here in Reading in the last part of his life. And after the concert that Olga had with you guys, I took her up to see Dwayne, and they had a disagreement about something. It was kind of funny. He loved the performance and the whole thing, but he didn't feel that pianists should be so animated. They should be more stoic and let the music speak for itself. And Olga came back with, well, you know, Dwayne, if we didn't give people a show, they would not come to the symphony. And they left it at that, and that's... my last remembrance of Dwayne was hearing him say that.
Interesting. That is an interesting dialogue that they had, and so much to take away from that.
You know, the whole idea is to entertain. I mean, you want to get into the music.
You have to get people there to hear it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, you know, you're not the typical conductor. You are the, you know. Even though that you obviously are, you know everything about it and you're so good at what you do, but you bring this life to it,
yes, yeah.
And telling people this is what it's about and this is what he was thinking when he was writing it and this was going on in his life. I mean, you find out things like, you know, this he couldn't play this because his hands weren't big enough.
Right.
You know, there's certain parts. You know, I never knew that there was, you know, that somebody had written a piano piece that you literally have to have hands the size of King Kong to do it correctly.
Yeah, to be able to play a tenth. And, in fact, there's some pretty funny videos about not being able to play the tenths written by Russian composers
yeah.
on the Internet.
Anyway, hey, Scott, thank you so much. And we'll be tuning in May 6th on, you've got it on, say it one more time, which of the stations?
Well, this is May 6th at 7 p.m. It'll be available on YouTube, on our social media, as well as public access TV stations, including SCAC-TV, BCAC-TV, Access Humboldt. And this is our program called To the Fore. It features Pulitzer Prize-winning composers, as well as a composer, Bohuslav Martineau. Very jazz-inspired piece called La Revue de Cuisine. It's a ballet about kitchen utensils. Very super cool, interesting stuff, and a lot of fun. Hope people can come see it.
Well, not only
check
that,
it out to the very least.
Yeah, not only that, but I can cheer when I want to.
Yeah, you can. I can
cheer. We
like
can throw
doing.
Popcorn. We can, you know, we can
clap
yeah,
in between.
We
the
can
movements.
Clap in between yeah. the move. We can just do anything. Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye bye. Hey, we got a couple minutes here. We were talking about Anselmo's, and I talked to somebody who knows the manager up there, and we're going to have to do a whole hour on this.
Probably, yeah.
We will, because you used to work over there in the county.
I did. I worked there when they were having trouble. We called it the Troubles. When we're kind of like the Irish with the British, right?
No, the Troubles. The only trouble. Thing there wasn't was shootouts, and I'm surprised about that. But... I was talking to somebody that knows the manager up there very, very well. In fact, he used to be one of the managers up there. We had dinner last night. And he said they're still having problems. There's $1.8 million or something like that in that escrow fund to fix these things. And they are trying. And yet they still can't get things through the county. Now, I don't listen to rumors and stuff. But when I hear things from people that are involved with it, I can't help but put a little more weight into
right.
it
than first-hand just, knowledge.
Than just Jared coming in and telling me, hey, did you hear what, you know, I was up in Selma. Not that Jared's not telling the truth, but Jared's not, he's not linked into him.
Right.
Where this guy was. And so I would hate to think that this stuff is still going on. I mean, we're sitting on millions up there. I'm not talking about the cost of the property. I'm talking about taxes and the things they could bring into our county, into the tax structure, and starting something up there or finishing something that Reversion's almost started. I really do want to sit down and talk to the people from the county and say, okay, just what exactly? What is it?
What is the problem?
What is the problem?
Right. That would be a great show.
I think so.
I would
so.
Like to hear that, yeah. Hear what their response is.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with United Way. They've got a couple of things that you might be interested about.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The nation's highest court will revisit the hot-button issue of gun rights, the Supreme Court agreeing to hear an appeal to expand those rights.
Justices will review a New York case over the right to carry a firearm in public for self-defense. New York is among 8 states that limit who has the right to carry a weapon in public. The High Court's announcement follows mass shootings in recent weeks and marks the first gun rights case since Justice Amy Coney Barrett joined the court, making a 6-3 conservative majority. The case probably will be argued in the fall. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Biden administration is pledging more help for India, where the coronavirus is surging out of control. India continues shattering records for infections and deaths. That's prompted British Prime Minister Boris Johnson to change his plans.
The British and Indian governments say, in the light of the current coronavirus situation, Johnson will not be able to travel to India as planned. The trip would have been Johnson's first foreign visit since the start of the coronavirus pandemic more than a year ago. It was originally scheduled for January, but was postponed then when infections soared in Britain. India has reported a further highest daily rise since the start of the pandemic. It now has more than 15 million infections, second only to the U.S. Charles de Ledesma, London.
President Biden getting lackluster grades for his handling of illegal immigration and border security in a Fox poll of registered voters. 46% say U.S. border security compared to 2 years ago is worse, which includes 75% of Republicans. Only 15% of the respondents call it better. Orders for big-ticket manufactured goods rebounded 0.5% last month. U.S. factories recovered from February winter disruptions. Wall Street, the Dow up 30 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps, or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over 800,000 families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With families staying close and Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget.
Plus, Legacy Box is offering a 50% discount.
Order your Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/lbox. And for a limited time, get an incredible 50% off your order. This is one of the best discounts we've offered. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 50% off. legacybox.com/lbox.
Is there any place on the planet you can escape the coronavirus? Maybe not.
A Norwegian climber became the first to be tested for COVID-19 at Mount Everest Base Camp and was flown by helicopter to Kathmandu, where he was hospitalized. Erlen Ness says he tested positive on April 15th. He said another test on Thursday was negative, and he was now staying with a local family in Nepal. Any outbreak could prematurely end the climbing season just ahead of a window of good weather in May. Patrick Frost reporting.
A widely watched indicator of the German business outlook barely budged this month as a third wave of coronavirus infections dampened optimism about the pace of the post-pandemic recovery. The IFO index out today crept up to 96.8 from 96.6 in March. Slight increase comes as companies view current conditions as better, but express less optimism about the coming 6 months. News and analysis at townhall.com. Licensed surveyors objecting to maps made up of drone images with the property lines drawn on the maps.
North Carolina's Board of Examiners for Engineers and Surveyors is being sued after the board threatened a man with criminal prosecution for unlicensed surveying. The challenge goes both ways. Surveyors need FAA approval to professionally fly drones, and drone operators need state licenses to produce legal surveys. Some experts suggest they work together to create maps that do a better job of showing where to build fences. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Consumer Reports says it was able to easily trick a Tesla into driving in the car's autopilot mode with no one at the wheel. That test came just days after a Tesla had crashed in Texas, killing the two men in the car. Authorities say that neither of the men were in the driver's seat at the time of that crash in Texas. Yet on Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 45 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebach. 8:05 in the morning here, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, commitment, community, healing starts there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. It is the 26th of April, Monday. Jared's at the helm in there. And Jared, two things, the weather and what day is it today? I know it's Monday, but there's a, you know, it's always some kind of national.
Yeah, day. I was just talking with Pat about what day it is. But first, the weather. It's currently 41 degrees. Today, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 64, a low of 42. Tomorrow's going to be sunny and clear with a high of 78, a low of 49. Wednesday is going to be sunny, mostly clear. Wednesday night with a high of 86, a low of 51. And on Thursday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 88 and a low of 56. And it is National Pretzel Day.
National Pretzel Day. I thought we had National Pretzel Day the other day.
No, well.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Also, Help a Horse Day.
Help a Horse Day?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to go to that pretzel place after work.
Okay. Did you give the weather?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
What was I doing?
I'm not paying attention.
Not paying attention. Well, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. I am here with, and I just dumped everything I just had. Let me play a little bit here, finding it again. But I'm here with Larry Olmsted from the United Way, and I'm with...
Sharon Brizolera.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for helping me on that one.
You're welcome.
Larry, tell everybody what the United Way is.
Yeah, hi. United Way of Northern California. We're one of 1,100 chapters of the world's largest philanthropic network. And in our community here in the North State, we focus on helping families thrive, education, income, and health programs. Also focus on helping families through crisis and the community through crisis. We've been very active in wildfire relief as an example, and COVID relief. Mm-hmm. Carl, one of the things, and I think one of the reasons that you've asked us to be here today is we're also active in looking at issues of social equity and social justice, and that has led to our involvement with the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition.
Which is Sharon here.
Actually, it's both of us. Larry initiated, and I'm working with him, co-facilitating the coalition.
Okay, Shasta Equal Justice Coalition. What is that exactly?
Right, the coalition, Carl, was started after the murder of George Floyd, and really is a group of concerned citizens and organizations that are engaged with the law enforcement community here in Shasta County, with really a mission of providing safe communities for all. Sharon, why don't you talk a little bit about the mission and vision?
Yeah, you know, our mission is to envision equity and justice for every community member, regardless of identity, background, or circumstances. And so we've come together, and there are many collaborative groups, because there's many organizations that are already doing similar work, but brought together to look at preventative issues, how we can build more trust. So we have Shasta SCAR, Shasta Community, or Shasta Citizens, County Citizens Advocating Respect. I know that you know.
Yeah, they're on the third Thursday.
Exactly.
Or fourth Thursday of each month, third Thursday.
Exactly. And the Beloved Community under the leadership of Eddie McAllister, who
right.
I'm sure you also know.
Yes.
And there are other groups that are doing other things in terms of education and bringing people together and working on community trust.
Yeah.
Let's talk about community trust. Is there a great deal of distrust for our law enforcement here in Shasta County?
You know, I think I think certainly our law enforcement community would believe that there is a lot of support for them in this community compared to the average community in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody involved who looks at this issue knows that it's been a difficult period for law enforcement in America. And I think our police, for instance, would say, hey, you know, even recruitment is tougher now, as an example, because there's been a lot of high-profile incidents. So I think the issue for the coalition is to continue to help law enforcement build trust within the community and also to create conditions in our community where we don't have that kind of George Floyd incident with the notoriety it brings, the anguish it brings. That's not something we need in the North State.
And I will say, Carl, that before the COVID, there were discussions with Eddie McAllister and Larry and others about getting a sense of where trust was in the community, where mm-hmm. there were issues where we needed to strengthen that. And I think the idea is that there's a safer community for both, for law enforcement and for community members, when that trust has been established and there's dialogue.
Well, obviously, there is. And, you know, the police have reached out. They're starting this, and this was under Bill Shula, the chief, bringing in a mental health professional that will be traveling as part of a group. Because we know that most of the problems we have out there, I would just say that in just anecdotal evidence and things I read, that it's a mental health problem out there in many cases that leads to this. On the other hand, people, for a variety of reasons, have lost their fear because of there is no jail. That, you know, I mean, we have a jail, but they're constantly letting people in and out. The laws have changed, AB 109, Prop 47 and 57, and police are fighting a lot more. I mean, people are fighting police where they didn't used to, and it doesn't make any difference what color they are. It's just kind of a general lack of respect for the law that they're facing over the last 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
At any one time, you're going to have 10% of the police and the sheriff's department out for injuries suffered while trying to arrest somebody. Is that taken into consideration also?
I think the issues around equal justice and law enforcement are complex. I would say a couple of things. One is that to me, the issue of de-escalation of incidents is really paramount. And I think one of the most positive things we've seen here in Shasta County is the embracing by police and the sheriff's office of the crisis intervention team that can go to a scene accompanied by mental health professionals to try to de-escalate a problem. That type of thing, hopefully, will decrease the kinds of incidents where you're talking about, where someone feels that they need to act out and physically confront an officer. That just promotes better safety for the officers and for the community. And I think you're exactly right that a lot of the incidents that really create the possibility of violent interaction and use of force involve people who are on drugs, involve people who are, have an alcohol abuse issue, or involve people who are involved in a mental health issue. So this is a promising development that certainly has been advocated by the coalition, but police and the sheriff's department and the county and other nonprofits all are unified in saying we have to de-escalate these incidents by utilizing this type of opportunity.
Okay. I'm here with Larry Olmsted. And Sharon, I'm going to try not to mess your name up too badly here. Brizolera?
Excellent.
Excellent. Great. And we're going to take a quick break now. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Judy's been doing this. She has two teams here, insurance team and a financial team. She's been helping people since 1993. We have sent numerous people over to her that lost their homeowners insurance because not being in the fire, but being in that circle they draw that says we're not going to give you homeowners insurance or fire insurance. She's helped everybody that we have sent to her, and they have gotten their home insurance back, their fire insurance back, and then a lot of them just move everything over to Judy Maxwell at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. If you're looking for a second opinion on retirement plans, your 401, give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. Things have changed a lot in that also. Our phone number is 221-0441, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back after these messages, 8:15 in the morning here on the 26th, and it's about 40 degrees out there.
Listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Mother's Day brunch on Sunday, May 9th, with seating options at 10 a.m. and 12 noon in the Wind River Event Center. Their buffet includes omelet station, prime rib, roast turkey, steamed clams with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Table of six for $135.
Taxes and fees apply.
Tickets must be purchased by calling 1-800-280-YOU-WIN or at windriver.com. For the complete menu, download the Wind River app or log on to windriver.com.
All Wind River safety protocols must be followed.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Back on gold dust, woman.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebot. Phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop into our chat room. Date is the 26th, 8/19, and the weather is going to be kind of a nice today. It's 40 degrees out there, and this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. The largest privately owned firearm instruction company in California teaches in over 46 different locations. If you are wanting to get your CCW, but you don't, it's really, really, really hard to find ammo right now, give them a call at 999-1822 or go to their website at usgunpro.com, and they will provide ammo for you to get your CCW. When I say provide, they will sell it to you at what they're buying it for. It's Northern Firearms Instruction. Let's go to the phones. Mark.
Yeah. So, you know what bothers me is when I sit and watch this generation that's being taught that confrontation with cops is okay. And you see it with a lot of the video games like Grand Theft Auto, the music. And we are literally now teaching an entire generation that it's okay to fight the cops. And this is just going to get worse and worse. I don't know how the cops even put up with it. When they pull up the situation, we're going to get to a point where the cops are going to go, nope, not touching that with a 10-foot pole because I'm going to get in trouble if I deal with that. We're headed to anarchy if we don't start teaching people respect for cops again. If you obey the cops, even if a cop is wrong, and you say, yes, sir, I will comply, and then deal with it in court, you're way better off than starting a fight with a cop. Because once you start battling the police, you got to remember, these cops want to go home to their families. And that's one thing that bothers me is that all this, those cops go to work scared that they're not going to come home every day.
Well, I don't know if it's scared, but it is something that's a part of their life. I'd say concerned, because it can change on you in the heart.
More than concerned. I have a son who's a sheriff.
Okay.
I know that it's more than just a concern, but when it is constantly in the back of your head, every time you pull a car over, you're thinking, is this the one? Is this the one? It never used to be this accelerated. The whole thing has gotten more accelerated because people on whole have become more confrontational with the cops because they think it's okay. We have people like Maxine Waters and others out there actually encouraging this.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? You're right, Mark, because this is something that, like you said, kids are raised with this in the games and the movies and even music. So, okay, thanks. Good comments.
Thank you. All right.
Of course, I'm here with Larry Olmstead, and he heads up the United Way, and Sharon Brisalera, and they're both with the also, and Sharon's one of the main members of the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition. And I saw the press release, which is what I wanted to talk about. At some point toward the end of the show, I'd like to go back to United Way and talk about how you all are still involved with fires, helping people in those fires, too.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about what Mark just said?
Well, I think that the issue of respect, mutual respect, is critical. And I think that Mark is exactly right, that we want to how do we create an environment where police, law enforcement community, and the community in general, are in a relationship that is safe, that is mutually respectful, where there's dialogue and opportunity? And I think a lot of our conversations at the Equal Justice Coalition have been around that. And where it comes down to, I think, is dialogue and interaction, engagement between the community and law enforcement, and also accountability on all sides. When the public understands the police are accountable for their actions, and police feel more trusting than they do, I think, right now, that the public is going to be accountable for criminal actions, then I think we're going to get somewhere.
And I think we've also seen, we have a member of our coalition who's a former law enforcement officer, mm-hmm. and really speaks strongly about the power of community policing that he was involved with earlier, and the relationships that are developed and things like that. And we've seen other communities where access to data gives people a much better picture of what's happening, and that's part of that trust development.
Now, you're saying you want them, for local law enforcement agencies, to release data on use of force incidents and complaints. What does that mean exactly? Aren't those under the Freedom of Information Act? They do?
Well, what we've seen with different communities, there's certainly things that can't be accessed. You know, you can't talk about names of anyone, yeah. right? And there's other protections in place. But I think without really looking at the numbers, a lot of assumptions can be made. You know, people can think that things are much worse or much better than they are. And so the request for data is really an opportunity to look at really what's the situation, what are law enforcement needs, what is the community trying to say. It's a basis from which to begin and really look at how we can come together to, you know, collectively ensure public safety and safety of law enforcement as well.
Would you agree that the vast majority of police interactions with people don't result in violence, though?
Oh, I think that there's no question about that. And I've thought a lot about my experience here in Reading.
You're a man of color.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah, I've been here about a little over 5 years. Mm-hmm. My interactions with law enforcement here have been positive as an individual. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you know, you can take a step back. And I've lived in a lot of places in the United States, and I've seen different levels of racism,
yeah.
discrimination, the whole shebang. My experience is that, you know, 95% of people, no matter what their color, are good people and are trying to do the right thing. So the issue here for me,
I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make any difference what your race or religion or anything is. Most people want the same things.
Yeah,
and they're cool about it.
Right. So what we want to do here, I think, is make sure that there's a level of cultural understanding for all of us. That as an example, we live in a community that where if we have an important level of Native American indigenous representation. And I would venture to say that a lot of us in this community who are not Native American, we need to know more about that community. We need to understand more the culture, the history, the background there. And so it's that type of thing that we need to work on as a community to build greater trust. And the law enforcement community is part of that. And I think when you see, whether in the state of California or nationwide, the outcomes of the criminal justice system, you know, one obvious example, for instance, would be that in the state of California, nearly 30% of the people in prison, the males imprisoned, are African American, and African Americans only comprise about 5 or 6% of the adult population in California. So you know that you have to build out and say, what causes that? And if we can address that, we can create greater safety for all communities and for police.
Well, you know what? That's a good question. What does cause that? It's not, I mean, you have many black officers out there, African-American officers, and maybe not as many as Asian-Americans, but plenty of Hispanic officers out there. Why is there a greater proportion of blacks? I mean, it's not just... It can't just be, you know, racial inequality that puts them in a spot where they get arrested. What causes it?
Well, there's a lot of issues that cause it, and frankly, racial inequality is part of the mix.
But not 50%, or even 25%.
Well, it starts with looking at what are the social conditions.
Yeah.
Then you start looking at, you know, what are the economic conditions.
Absolutely.
Then it's about
breakdown of the family.
Perhaps, but you know, we can look at I mean, breakdown of, well, that's another,
the nuclear
whole other discussion about breakdown of the family. But,
yeah.
but what I was going to say was that you all, from the law enforcement point of view, you also have to look at, what are the policies and practices of policing in minority communities and ethnic communities. And then you have to look at the courts and the whole system. You look at bail, reform as an example. You have a situation where people who are affluent can bail themselves out of crimes. People who are not cannot. Therefore, a lot of people sitting in jails in California and including in our county have not been convicted of a crime. They simply cannot afford bail. So that adds to the prison population, and it increases the whole situation. So it's a complex set of issues.
So, yeah. So then, do you believe that bail should be done away with?
I don't have. I think that's a complex issue. And
because we did that during COVID.
And even people who are proponents of bail reform, it's a controversial issue. My point though is that there's many reasons that lead to the disparities. The challenge for us is, how can we as an overall community and society confront those? Because if we confront them successfully, you drive down the number of people who are incarcerated, you get more people who are doing productive things in the community, and you increase the level of safety for the whole community, including our law enforcement first responders.
And I don't want to make this into a national thing. I just really want to focus here. But on the national level, you look, and there's cities where people are killed. I think this last weekend they had 24, 25 people shot in Chicago, 4 or 5 people killed. In Philadelphia they've got it. In Baltimore they've got it. Dallas. There's a lot of people being shot and killed. And to me, the people that are being shot and killed in these areas, in these inner city areas, there is a lack of hope. But it's been like that for years. I mean, and it's not because people don't care. There's not people of color as the mayor and been the mayors, but it still continues to go on. What could stop that?
Well,
I know that's not exactly what we're talking about, but see, whatever happens here, we're just a microcosm of that. We are not having that type of violence, though it seems like there's more. And of course, we talked about what happened at Lakehead, that horrible incident up there that was strictly, it looks like, because he wanted to shoot a black man. He ends up shooting a black man and a white man. And, but to end this thing, part of the reason that people are in jail is because where they're at gives no hope, in my opinion.
Well, To your point about it's very difficult sitting here to make a judgment about what's happening in Chicago or Philadelphia or somewhere else. But what I would say about our location, our locale, is the reality is that we do have a lot of support for law enforcement here. We have a small minority population here that. And it's important for that minority population to feel that voices are heard. I think it's important for there to be engagement with law enforcement, with the community. At the end of the day, what builds trust is going to be engagement, dialogue, and accountability. And
that's accountability for both sides.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah, and I think the chief's been really clear about the role that education and training can play. They're constantly training.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Constantly.
But needing a local view, we've had, to Larry's point earlier about Indigenous leaders, participating in the coalition, mm-hmm. and speaking about, for us to engage, we need a relationship, and relationship means, showing up. And so I think there's an awareness that, there are things that are hidden to us, that we kind of view, and this is me, who I also teach sociology, there are things that we see based on our own experiences. So between that training and the interaction and the communication is when some of those dynamics can be better understood.
Carl, I agree. Now we're going to have to take a break. Mm-hmm. So what So we'll come back with your comment here, Larry.
Great.
You know, the thing about it is the idea of people interacting where we can share our thoughts in a peaceful way, agree to disagree, but then how do we move forward on that? And let's talk a little bit about that when we get back. This portion of the show is brought to you by Powerhouse Solar. It's an elite dealer for SunPower. Solar energy makes financial sense, and you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. Now, you can get the SunPower, SunVault battery, and solar with financing. Keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever with Powerhouse Solar. Give them a call at 275-5600, 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar. You know, some good people down there, too. We'll be right back after these messages. 39 degrees out there, 8:34 in the morning here on Monday, 26th of April.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing. So keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. A man named William Delaney once turned a two-horse team and three wagons completely around on Front Street in Cottonwood during the lumber hauling heydays of the 1870s while he was standing on the sidewalk and directing his team with the calls of gee and haw. In 1890, Cottonwood was described as being a wide open and busy place with three hotels, four stores, many stables, and saloons at every other door. Front Street had become well known as Fist City. If you had a gripe, you settled it in Fist City in the middle of the street. An opera house came to Cottonwood during this time. The south half of the second floor of the Oak Knoll School, located at the corner of Brush and High Streets, became the opera house until 1915. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. For this month, we're reviewing Arturo Fuente's Hemingway Classic. With curves of a supermodel, this Perfecto has a superbly balanced, toothy, and attenuated Cameroon wrapper, and pairs exquisitely with a complex filler and binder that indulges the palate with citrus, coffee, cocoa, and cedar. Come down to the shop for your Arturo Fuente Hemingway Classic today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care.
Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of cost, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. A lot of times the music plays longer because we're all in here chit-chatting. And Jared is up knocking on the window to remind me that, yeah, hey, Carl, you got, you know, the show here. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. The Shasta Regional Medical Center is bringing us a segment. It's been certified. Shasta Regional Medical Center certified the Joint Commission and Advanced Primary Stroke Facility. That means they help prevent stroke. They have just great care after a stroke to get people back up and back into good health. Healing starts there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. So many things they do for our community beyond that. And today we're here with Larry Olmsted, who heads up the United Way, and Sharon Bizzolera, who is in the one of the leaders of the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition. And we're talking about the fact is how do we as a community, we, you know, thankfully don't have the problems that many communities, even our size, have in other parts of California and the rest of the United States. We have, for the most part, a great deal of trust for our law enforcement. Law enforcement seems eager to work with other people during this time frame. But there's still always room for improvement. Mm-hmm. That how do we, you know, you formed a coalition to be able to talk with the police and have the police be able to talk to you, but also community leaders, and as you said, Native American community leaders. So where, what are the goals? What's the biggest goal that you wish to achieve with this?
You know, Carl, first of all, I want to say I think you've made exactly the right point in terms of the comparison with other cities. Oh, yeah. The advantage we have is that we're not at that crisis point. We don't have a burning platform here at all.
Right.
Let's be smart and get ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah.
So the goal here is, to create the conditions in our community where, we don't have a George Floyd situation where if there is a violent interaction between police and the community and someone in the community, the lines of trust have already been drawn. The lines of dialogue have already been drawn. We can work through things much more easily because we have those conversations going on. One big goal is how do we create more trust and dialogue? How do you do that? One of the things that we're working with the police department in Reading, and we've started intentionally our work focused on Reading Police. We've had interactions with Sheriff McGreeny and his office. We've had interactions with the probation office, et cetera, et cetera. But we started with RPD because it is the largest, you know, Reading is the big city, right?
Yeah.
And also because Chief Shuler has been open to conversation and dialogue, and that has taken place. So we're seeing one big goal. How do we de-escalate these situations like you were talking about earlier, where you have somebody acting out, mentally mm-hmm. ill, substance abuse, what have you? Getting mental health folks involved in those, going out with police, that's happening already, mm-hmm. and police and sheriff's department have embraced it, so that's fantastic. Another goal is, and I think Sharon alluded to this earlier, how do we increase the level of knowledge and cultural sensitivity that our police officers have about the community to make sure that when they go into situations in the community, they're dealing from a position of knowledge, of cultural knowledge and have relationships already built. So that kind of lowers the temperature, makes the dialogue, makes the interaction a little easier. That's also very important. And I think the final thing is, we talked about the accountability issue. Some of that is involved with civilian dialogue with police on different levels. So that's being worked on. Can the chief have, for instance, a group of folks that he relies on in the community in a structured way to talk about issues. We believe that it would be wise for there to be some sort of, if you want to call it, task force, commission, committee, but that looks in a systematic way at data and at other issues and gives recommendations about this. Just that more community interaction, civilian interaction, and oversight. Those are the types of things that we think are going to be important to building trust.
And I think it's from a perspective of coming alongside. Like, you know, we were talking about the training that law enforcement goes under. They have a tremendous amount of training, mm-hmm. you know, technical and equipment and, you know, new regulations and laws. And so I think both the sheriff and Chief Schuler have spoken about the importance of locally responsive, cultural responsive training, you know, where are our biases that we don't see? How can we communicate more effectively? You know, one of the breaks we were talking about the Peace Corps and how, you know, when you go to another country, it's important to learn from, like, what does eye contact mean? Is that I'm listening to you, or is that considered to be disrespectful? You know, there's a lot of that there's deep cultural knowledge here that can be shared so that things aren't, there isn't miscommunication.
Yeah, well, Carl, can you give me an example of that?
An example
of cultural, we're all Americans here, okay, but we all have, you know, we all have different backgrounds. So can you give me an example what a policeman should know as far as cultural,
I'll give you a classic, and it involves African-American community, and, of course, we have fewer African-Americans here than a lot of other groups. But nevertheless, police might encounter black people here. One of the things that is
a very small community of color here. So
no, that's right. Black people tend to be, if you don't want to stereotype, or you don't want to, you know, everybody isn't exactly the same.
Right.
But black people tend to react in a discussion, like the kind we're mm-hmm. having, where they don't believe that raising their voice is a sign of aggression. They believe that raising their voice is a sign of passion. It's a sign of authenticity. This is a generalization, okay? But it's been a studied generalization, okay? So often, whether in any workplace or in any situation, mm-hmm. and certainly in an encounter with law enforcement, you could have a situation where somebody might say, oh, that person's raising their voice. That means that they're going to be a greater threat to me. Where, in fact, the person raising their voice might simply be expressing themselves in a passionate way.
Yelling doesn't necessarily mean anger.
You have to be careful about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's an example. And, you know, there are
no,
many.
No, that's a good example. Mm-hmm. I can see that, where a policeman goes in and all of a sudden there's three or four people raising their voices, and now he feels a threat there mm-hmm. because of that. No, mm-hmm. I understand that.
And I think, you know, you were speaking before about trust and how, and we know that if you have trust and mutual respect, there's more sharing of information and, you know, all of those things that are important to the safety both of law enforcement and community. And I'll just, you know, bring up again, earlier we were talking about the someone from one of our local, you know, Native American indigenous communities mm-hmm. saying that we, you know, for us, it's important in trust building that you show up and come to us and get to know who we are, that our communities are distinct. And, you know, what does tribal sovereignty mean? And, you know, and how do we communicate? So that showing up, similar to what happens with community policing, is really critical. And with that trust, we can all, you know, as a community, achieve more in terms of safety and sharing.
All right. Oh, that's good. Because when you know, that is, you gave a specific example that's been studied. I could see that. Okay, we got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, the only place I've had my hair cut for 14 years. So I can truthfully say it's the best place I've ever had my hair cut in Redding, California, maybe even the world. I know I'm going to catch it on that one, too. They work by appointments only, 244-9478. Better known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't have. It's early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the grill.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, the new Queen Sleep Number 360 P5 Smart Bed is only $1,799. Save $600. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Our brains are complex and play an important role in health and well-being. Having knowledge about the brain will help keep you and your loved ones healthy and enjoying a quality life. You can learn brain health and dementia prevention strategies during the Healthy Brain Symposium, a free live event with resource exhibits, or attend via Zoom webinar April 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's your chance to get informed about brain health and aging well from leading medical professionals and healthcare experts, including David Johnson, Associate Professor in Neurology, UC Davis Alzheimer's, Dr. Ruth O'Hara, Senior Associate Dean of Research, Stanford University of Medicine, Donna Ross, Licensed Physical Therapy Medical Home Professional, and Dr. Eric Egli, PhD, plus a panel of experts question and answer session. It's all at the Healthy Brain Symposium, April 28th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Reading or online. Pre-registration, go to shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays, including your birthday, paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st, at HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work, and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st, for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl Lindebot. It is 39 degrees. It's going to be a nice day today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Hey, every Wednesday at 2691 on Larkspur, they have groceries for veterans at the Salvation Army. Every Wednesday from 9 to 11 a.m., no appointment is needed. If you need groceries, no questions are asked. Just you have to show your veteran designation or a VHA, a veteran's, you know, health card or a DD-214, and you get free groceries. Salvation Army, every Wednesday, 9 to 11. I'm here with Larry Olmsted and Sharon, and I will get, I'm going to try and get
You're
this.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. Brizolera. There we go. We're talking about a moment for sober reflection and recommitment to equal justice. Shasta Equal Justice Coalition put a statement out saying it's, you know, that, and as we've talked for this last hour, we've agreed that our community does not have the problems that other communities has. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't get ahead of the curve, as you said, Larry, and make sure we don't have those problems. If you remember the Black Lives Matter, a protest on Court Street down there, a lot of people tried to make, I think, more of it than it was. And the fact is there were people that were excited from two different sides, yet not one incident of violence, people coming together at the end of it. And, you know, frankly, Reading could have been used as a model for many, many, many other cities and towns. There were people both protesting it, but also not there, especially for a protest, but yet no violence.
Carl, I think that that's a perfect example of where we're trying to go.
Yeah.
You know, you'll recall after that period, after the George Floyd death and the protests, what happened in our community. Scar, one of our coalition members, held a press conference. District Attorney Bridget was there. Chief Shuler was there. I think the sheriff was there. Congressman LaMalfa was there. I was there. Others were there to say, hey, in our community, this isn't the way we go in our community. In our community, police are going to do their job in a fair and equitable way. Mm-hmm. The system, that's how the system's going to operate. And we are not in favor of, you know, violence and all that other thing.
Nobody is.
And then when you saw those protests, Carl, who was out there? Chief Shuler was among the people who were out there, walking with, talking with the people who were upset over the Floyd death. So that's the kind of environment that is a good environment that we want to have in our community. And we keep on working on these issues.
When we have times when the police go into a community, the community's got to help. I mean, there are bad people in each community. The people have to help. You know, hey, this is a bad guy. This guy is bringing drugs into our streets. This or girl. Doesn't make any difference, race or anything. This is a bad person on our street, and we want you to do something about it, and the community has to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be at any time us against them, which is what I see you all are doing, and with the police, both the sheriff and the law enforcement here in Anderson, they're all trying to do the right thing.
I think people really need to understand that our law enforcement community, the issues that they're confronting are social issues. They're not issues that, police woke up one day and they created this issue. Okay, so if you have a community where most people are prospering, if you have a community where there's equal access to jobs and people are being paid fairly, if you have a community where you don't have an overwhelming amount of drug addiction and other social kind of societal things that are caused by stress and what's happening in the home, then you have a safer community, okay? Then police are not as frequently in that position where a use of force situation might be necessary. To make those things happen, the community has to come together. The community also has to look at how do we fund appropriately. People talk about that defund the police. We're not – that word to me is a totally diversionary, distracting work. But the real question is, how do we fund the things that do need to be funded? Some of those things are on the law enforcement side. You know, do we have enough police officers doing enough of the right things to interact positively with the community? That type of thing.
And I think also it's the organizations like the SEJC, which is, kind of hopes to be an umbrella for bringing together these mm-hmm. voices, seeks to work together, work constructively. It's really easy to tear down things and to critique and to
approach. It is when you haven't had a day in their shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So coming together to build that trust, to see what some of the issues are, how can we come together to
from both sides.
Improve things? Yes.
Of course.
And prevention.
Well, and I'm glad I had you all on. And Larry, I didn't get a chance to talk about how y'all are still helping people from the fires, four different fires, that you're still helping mm-hmm. people. I'm sorry, that'll have to be another time, buddy.
Love to come back and talk more about that.
You know
that,
what? This is interesting, and like I said, we have the chief, the sheriff, and the DA.